Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming into your homes and institutions and automobiles with another gospel message from the Word of God. And friend, who knows? This may be the last gospel message ever preached. Yes, I believe we're living in terrible days, days just prior to the Lord's return. And sinner friend, if you're not saved soon, the likelihood is you'll not be saved at all, because the door of God's grace is about to be shut. And those who aren't saved when Jesus Christ comes again are going to be subject to the terrible judgment and divine wrath of God. So please, sinner friend, give serious thought to your spiritual condition before God today. And if you're only a professing Christian without having been truly born again, cast aside your false profession or form of godliness and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul right now. Tell God you realize that you're a sinner and that you can't do anything to save your own soul. Then in simple childlike faith, simply place your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now let's start off the broadcast today with a lovely tune, and it's entitled The Haven of Rest.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. Haven of rest, I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I've anchored my soul evermore.
Well, friends, I for one sure thank God today that my soul is anchored in the haven of rest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I would rather be in Christ than in the White House. Yes, I thank God that I'm in Christ, because back on June the 2nd of 1952, after having been convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, I trusted Jesus Christ with my soul. Yes, I was saved and born again through faith in the blood of Christ. Now tell me, friend, can you look back to a time in your life when you were born again into the family of God? You know, if you're really a child of God today, you know when, where, and how you were saved by the grace of God. Oh, you might forget whether or not it was a Tuesday or Wednesday, or even if whether it was June or July, but you'll never forget the experience of trusting Jesus Christ with your soul. It's the most important decision an individual can possibly make. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence today with gratitude and thanksgiving in our heart. And our God, we're so grateful, those of us who are saved, and we're so thankful for thine unspeakable gift. We thank thee for the grace that brought thy Son down from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank thee for the value thou hast placed upon his finished work at Calvary. And our God, we thank thee that he died, he rose again the third day, and today he's seated at thy right hand, our great high priest. He's our advocate and our intercessor. Lord, the only mediator between us and thee today is the man in the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we rest where God rests today, in the finished work of Christ, and the desire of our heart is to see others brought into the family of God. So we claim thy promise that thy word shall not return void. Save souls to his honor and glory, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, before we get into the message today, let's listen to another beautiful hymn, and it's one I'm sure all of you have heard. It's the well-known Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we stand
God today for the grace of God that has abounded greater than my sin. Now then, those of you who have your Bibles handy and would care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be directing your attention today to four separate portions of the Word of God. The first is found in the book of James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2, and we'll read together verse 19. James 2 and verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils, or the demons, also believe and tremble. The second scripture is found in the book of Acts, chapter 24. Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. And as he, meaning the Apostle Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now then, the third scripture is found in Acts chapter 9. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, and we'll read together verse 6. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. And he, meaning the man called Saul of Tarsus, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now for the fourth and final scripture, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 29. Then he, meaning the Philippian jailer, called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, I've just read to you four scriptures which would apparently have no connection one with the other, apart from the fact that they each tell us about someone who trembled. Yes, they trembled. Now, today, with the imperative help and guidance of God's Holy Spirit, I would like to discuss with you these four incidents recorded in the Word of God, because you can be sure. Yes, you can be sure of one thing, friend. These things were written for our learning. In our first scripture text, James chapter 2 and verse 19, we read that the emissaries of Satan, the demons, tremble. They trembled. Here's what we read. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. the demons also believe and tremble. You know, I've met a lot of people during the past several years, and in seeking to witness to them, I'm astounded to hear them say that they believe they're on their way to heaven because they believe in one God. Listen, friend and sinner friend, our text says that that's all well and good, but the demons also believe in one God, and what's more, they tremble. Yes, they tremble, but they'll never be in God's heaven. Friend, as you listen in your home or institution or automobile today, can you honestly say that you have a reverential fear of Almighty God? Can you? You know, over in Romans chapter 3, the last of the 14 indictments given by God against all mankind tells us this in verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Ah, listen, my friend. The chaotic conditions in the world today is mute evidence of the fact that mankind in general does not fear God. No, we see wars and rumors of war on every hand. We see man devising means of destroying one another with nuclear weapons. We see lawlessness running rampant in the streets of many American cities and the towns too. We see government so weak that they can be toppled overnight by a rebellious minority. Yes, and we see the true church, the bride of Christ, committing spiritual adultery by flirting with the sinful world in which we live. And friend, the salt of the earth, those who've been saved and born again, yes, the salt of the earth has lost its savor and its influence. And the Lord Jesus Christ looks at the pearl of great price today, the church, and says in Revelation 2 and verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, thou hast left thy first love." Oh, how this should bring the people of God to their knees in repentance toward their Heavenly Father. Yes, so many of us today have lost our first love. Our first love for the Son of God. Our first love for the Word of God. Our first love for the people of God. And many have even lost their first love for the house of God. But to you who are unsaved listeners today, tell me, have you ever trembled before a sin-hating God? Have you ever been convicted of your sinful condition in God's sight? And tell me, my friend, do you realize that if you die in your present spiritual condition, you'll spend all eternity weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth? Well, it's the Word of God, friend, for which I make absolutely no apology. And friend, as you listen to this broadcast today, you're either saved or you're lost. You're either a child of God or else you're a child of the devil. Yes, you're either on your way to heaven or else you're on your way to the place that Jesus Christ called hell. And friend, if these facts don't make you tremble, then nothing else will. Now in our second text for today, we read of someone else who trembled. Over in Acts chapter 24, we're told of how the Apostle Paul is preaching the gospel to this man called Governor Felix. And we're told in verse 25 that the Holy Spirit's conviction caused this man Felix to tremble. But what did he do? Well, here's what he said to Paul. "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Ah, my friend, how sad it is to think of being pleaded with by God's Holy Spirit and even trembling at the thought of meeting God in all your sins, and then to say, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Friend, is that your attitude today? Perhaps you too have been privileged to hear the gospel of God's grace, and you too have been convicted of your need for Jesus Christ as your Savior. But instead of trusting in the finished work of God's Son, you've resisted the Holy Spirit of God, and the language of your heart has been just like Governor Felix, "When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Listen, my friend, you may never again experience conviction of sin. No, you may never have another opportunity to either accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. God may cut you down in your sins today, and off you'd go into eternity, down to hell and the ultimate lake of fire. No, my friend, God gives you no guarantee that you'll ever hear the gospel again. And even if you should, the Holy Spirit of God may never speak to your heart and soul again. You know, back in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, here's what God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Again, we read in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, "He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." No, sinner friend, the day of God's grace has been extended to you today, but you may never see the light of another day. This time tomorrow, your cold and lifeless body could be in the undertaker parlor, and your soul could be down in the flames of hell. Now, perhaps God has made it possible for some young man or young woman to be tuned in today, and it's not by accident either, my young friend. God loves you, and He knew that you'd be listening to this program. He knows how you've been living in rebellion to Him, as well as in perhaps rebellion to your parents, too. He knows how your soul has been prayed for time and time again. Yes, He knows that there's a great need for born-again preachers and missionaries, and He wants you to serve Him and to win others for the Lord Jesus Christ. Young friend, are you going to heed the Holy Spirit of God? Are you going to resist Him and reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, sinner friend, please don't make the same mistake I made. Yes, for 30 years I lived an ambitious and self-centered life until one day, June the 2nd of 1952, God put me on my back in the Presbyterian Hospital in Pittsburgh. And it was there, after reading some gospel tracts, that I surrendered my heart and soul, as well as my life, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I'd been blinded by the enemy of my soul for 30 years. But thank God where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Young friend, don't let the devil rob you of God's salvation and a life of serving God. You know, over in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9, here's what God says. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Did you hear that? This is Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. God says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. In other words, have a good time. Do your own thing. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart. Go anywhere you want to. And in the sight of thine eyes, let your eyes perceive anything they want to look at. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Now then, let's take a look at our third text for today, Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. And here again we read about a man who trembled. Yes, here in Acts chapter 9, the Holy Spirit of God brings before us the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And we read in verse 6 that he trembled when he heard the voice from heaven. And that voice was the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner friend, have you ever trembled at the words of Jesus Christ? When he speaks about the place called hell, does it make you tremble? When he talks about the unsaved being the children of the devil, does it make you tremble? Ah, my friends, would that you would be just like this man called Saul of Tarsus. Yes, would that you too would tremble at the word of God, because it's the word of God used by the Holy Spirit which brings conviction to the heart and soul. Yes, and remember this, my friend, you'll never become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ until you've been convicted of your need of Christ, until you've been convicted of your sinnership in the sight of a holy God. You know, so many people today think that you just grow and develop into salvation. Friends, this diabolical belief is a tool and trick of the devil. Listen, conviction of sin must precede the salvation of the soul. In fact, conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of the soul as is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And furthermore, when a sinner accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he'll remember the experience. You don't make an important decision such as that and shrug it off as a common event. Ah, no. Why, if the President of the United States came into your house, you'd never forget it. So why should you forget when the Lord Jesus Christ came into your heart? Now let me say this much. It's possible to forget whether it was Monday or Tuesday, or even if it was July or August when you professedly got saved. But I don't see how it would be possible for anyone burdened by sin to have the burden of sin removed and not remembering when, where, and how it happened. There's one thing sure, you don't get saved in your sleep. Listen, my friend. Every instance of conversion recorded by the Holy Spirit of God in the Bible happened at a specific time, a specific place, and in a specific manner. Now let me just add one more thought. Just because a person remembers an experience and remembers a date and claiming a certain verse of Scripture, this does not necessarily mean that they are saved. Ah, no. A sinner isn't saved by an experience or a date or even a verse of Scripture, but he is saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. In other words, a sinner is saved by a person, and that person is none other than the Son of God Himself. Friends, I believe that there are countless souls down in hell today who have a time when, place where, and manner how they supposedly got saved. But that's all they had. They're just like so many people today who think they can be saved intellectually without the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And there are many people perhaps listening in today, and you think you're saved because you went to an altar. Friend, there are people down in hell today who got to an altar and never got to Christ. There are also many people down in hell today who are crying for the water they were baptized in. Friend, the only thing I'm depending upon to take me into God's heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ plus nothing. That's it, friend. The blood of Jesus Christ plus nothing. Now, in the time remaining, we'll take a brief look at our fourth scripture text for today, and that's Acts chapter 16 and verse 29, where we read of another person who trembled, and that person was the Philippian jailer. Here he was, responsible for the prisoners in his charge, and subject to their penalty should they escape. And when the prison doors were opened by the earthquake, he assumed that the prisoners had fled. Well, the jailer knew that he had to die in place of those who had escaped, so we read that he trembled. Why? Because he wasn't ready to die. He had heard the gospel preached by two prisoners named Paul and Silas, and now he's staring death in the face, and he's not prepared to die. Sinner friend, if you were facing imminent death today, would you tremble at the thought of meeting God in your sins? You know, in Amos 4 and 12 we read, "Prepare to meet thy God." Tell me, friend, what preparation have you made to meet God? For meet Him you must. Now remember, the Bible makes it quite clear that you're not prepared by so-called good deeds or church membership or anything like that. Well, what did the Philippian jailer do? In verse 30 of Acts chapter 16, he cried out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And what was the answer given by Paul and Silas? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Sinner friend, that's the answer I give to you today. If the Holy Spirit of God through God's Word has caused you to see your need for Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, friend, you don't have to tremble. You don't have to shed tears. You don't have to pray it through. You don't have to go to an altar. No, my friend, and you don't have to be baptized to be saved either. You have to repent of your sin. No, my friend, if you realize right now that it was your sins that nailed the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross, and if you realize that He died that shameful and ignominious death for you as an individual sinner, then, friend, according to the Bible, the Word of God, all you have to do to be sure of heaven is to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So, friend, whoever you are, and wherever you may be listening to this broadcast today, I plead with you to acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul. Repent of your sin and trust God's Son as your Savior. And friend, if you'll do that right now, according to the Bible, the Word of God which cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into Thy presence to thank Thee again for Thy Son and to pray Thy blessing upon Thy Word that has just gone forth. Save souls to His honor and glory alone. Amen. concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. And the zip code is 15134. That address again is the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.